Revelation chapter 21. If you need study guides, they're back on the back table. Revelation chapter 21, verses 15 to 27. And he that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city, and the gates of it, and the wall of it. And the city lies four square. Literally, if you're following the study guide, we've given you a literal translation. It's literally four angled or four cornered, not four square. We'll see in a moment it's actually a cube, not a square. And the city lies four cornered or four angled, and the length is as large as its width. And he measured the city with a reed, 12,000 furlongs. The length and the width and the height of it are all equal. See, it's a cube. And he measured the wall of it, 144 cubits, according to the measure of a man, that is, of an angel. So it's according to human measurements, but it was measured out by an angel. And the building of the wall, that is, the substance or structure of the wall, of it was jasper. And the city was pure gold, like unto clear glass. And the foundations of the wall of the city had been adorned with all kinds of precious or valuable stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third chalcedony, the fourth an emerald, the fifth sardonyx, the sixth sardius, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth topaz, the tenth chrysoprasus, the 11th jacinth or hyacinth, and the 12th amethyst. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Individually, each gate was of one pearl. And the street of the city was pure gold, as transparent glass. And I saw no temple in it, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it or to illuminate it. For the glory of the Lord illuminated it, and the Lamb is the light of it. And the nations of those being saved, notice the literal translations, the nation of the ones being saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth are bringing their glory and honor into it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all, literally never in the Greek text. And the gates of it shall never be shut by day, for there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. And there shall be in no wise, that is, never enter into it anything that is defiling, neither working the person working abomination, or a lie, except the ones who have been written in the book of the life of the Lamb. We're attempting to finish out chapter 21 today. We've got one more chapter to go in the book of Revelation. Remember, as we announced to you for the last couple of weeks, the plan is now, Lord willing, that after we finish with chapter 22, we will be taking the book of Romans, the constitution of the Christian faith, one of the great writings of the New Testament. It is the first book of the teaching section of the New Testament. All of the doctrines, every issue about the Christian life is presented in the book of Romans. So we're looking forward to that. But for now, we're finishing up Revelation. We've studied about the tribulation period. There will be judgment upon the earth. We've studied the second coming of Christ, and we will come back with him, and he will set up his kingdom on the earth, called the millennium, for 1,000 years. And then Satan will be let out as he was bound for that 1,000 years. So there'll be no more Satan during that time when Christ is ruling on the earth. And Satan is let loose again, and the people of the earth go back to serving Satan, and they surround the city and Jerusalem as they're about ready to attack Christ. And from heaven, God wipes out the armies by the millions who are approaching Christ. Then there's the great white throne judgment. We will not see that great white throne judgment, but believers will be judged. It's called the Bema seat. The Bema is the Greek word for the judges stand and the contestants stand in the Colosseum games. If you viewed the Olympics here recently, after they finished the race, they had number one person in the middle and then two and three on the sides. That's the Bema seat. That's where the people receive their rewards. And so we know from 1 Corinthians chapter 3 that for every believer, even though we're going to pass through the fire, it's not the fire of hell, it's a fire of cleansing and purity, every believer will suffer loss because that which is not done of Christ is going to burn. And whatever's left, that's our reward. And that's why we emphasize to you, growing in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, not gaining knowledge in your head, but allowing God's Spirit through His Word to change and transform you. Because that change is what you take with you into heaven. All the other stuff is going to burn. That's why we emphasize growth, spiritual growth. And then once that judgment takes place, John said he looked up at the beginning of this chapter, he said he looked up and saw New Jerusalem coming down from out of heaven. Some believe that this city is actually going to be suspended up above the new heaven and the new earth. Others believe it's going to be actually come to the earth. But John saw the city suspended in the air. He saw it as a new heaven and a new earth, that the old heaven, the old earth had passed away. We took a brief description of it in verses 9 through 14, but beginning of verse 15, we have a more detailed description of this city. It's an amazing, amazing city. Verse 21, first of all, in verses 15 through 17, the process of measuring the city. The process of measuring the city. First of all, he says, the one speaking with me. I'm giving you a literal translation as we go through the text now. The one speaking with me. We know from verse 1 that that is an angel. An angel who had been one of the seven that poured out the last of the seven bowls of judgment. This same angel is now guiding him into a measuring process. Why does the temple or the city have to be measured? It was always Jewish custom that in order to claim ownership, you walked the measurements of the land. As we told you on Thursday night in our Thursday study, when somebody took ownership of a piece of land, a Hebrew or Jewish person, they would walk from north to south and then east to west on its borders in order to claim the property as theirs. And so by measuring the city, God is measuring out that which is His and for His people. So the one speaking with me was having a golden reed. This is a reed that grows down by the swamps and by the riversides. It's used for anything from measuring, which it is here. It was used in the Old Testament for fishing poles. Also, it was used for Jesus as the soldiers gave him a mock scepter to hold in his hand while they were mocking him, calling him, "Hail, King of the Jews." It is a stick or reed that is about anywhere from 7 to 10 feet long, depending upon which one you pick. In order to measure the temple, they try to pick the reeds that are around 10 feet long. We see the similar thing happening in the millennial temple measurement in Ezekiel 40, verse 3. The measuring of the temple, Ezekiel 40, verse 3. So the angel comes and he has a golden reed, a measuring rod, in his hand, the purpose clause, hina, in order that he might measure three things: the city and the gates and its wall. Verse 16. And the city is lying four-angled or four-cornered, as the literal translation is. And the length of it is as much as also its width. So it's equal. And he measured the city with the reed, and he came up with 12,000 stadias. Your text might say furlongs, but it's the Greek word is stadia. It measures out to 1,500 miles. So in each direction, height, width, and length, it is a cube 1,500 miles on each side and in every direction. 12,000 stadia, it says. The length and the width and the height of it are all equal. It's a cube. This is fascinating if you ever get into the study I love to get into science and especially our solar system and the universe and the creation of it and all these things that function that are out there. Henry Morris, and you might have recognized the name, as he's with the Creation Institute. He wrote several books on creation and the flood. But he writes about, from a scientific standpoint, about this phenomenon of the new city, Jerusalem. He says, we will no longer be limited by gravitational or electromagnetic forces. That a block of the city won't be square, it'll be cubed. That we will be able to function also vertically and horizontally. We'll be able to go up and down and sideways, hopefully not at the same time. But it's a fascinating concept, and the scholars or the Bible teachers over the years have tried to keep it simple, because the concept of a cube instead of a square, and all the various were free from all these gravitational and electromagnetic forces, and that heaven or the new city is going to be different. That a block, city block, is not going to be square, it's going to be cubed. We can go up and down too. Maybe it's where they got the idea of the elevators, huh? And he measured the wall. The wall is 144 cubits, which is the measurement of man. And again, a cubit from a Hebrew standpoint is from your elbow to the tip of your little finger, approximately 18 inches. 144 cubits. The walls are going to be approximately 72 yards thick. Verses 18 through 21, the particulars about the material of the city. The particulars about the material. And the substance, literal translation, and the substance of its wall was jasper. Jasper is equivalent to our diamond as we see it today. As we studied last week, when John first saw the new city Jerusalem coming down out of heaven, he saw it as one big diamond. Can you imagine that? 1,500 miles in each direction. Oh, that's a pretty big diamond. My first response was, I'd love to see the oyster that one came out of. But this is going to be one big diamond that represents the city. And somebody got it. So the substance of its wall is jasper. That is like a diamond. Now notice this, and these are things that I've been mentioning to you, not only from other books of the Bible, but as we have been going through the book of Revelation. And the city is pure gold, like to pure glass. There's a Greek word in there that indicates to us, because many people believe that this in the new city Jerusalem or in heaven, it's going to be real jewels, that we're actually going to be walking on streets of gold. but we're constantly reminded that the entire city is clear as crystal, and that the glory of God is going to be in the middle of this city, radiating out with his energy, and what John sees is a prism. He sees the various light colors shining through this transparent city, and he sees the various colors of the jewels there. So the city is pure gold, like to pure glass. And the foundations of the wall of the city has been adorned with every valuable stone. Look at the foundations. The first foundation, remember there are 12 foundations we saw last week. There are three gates on each side of the city, just as in the book of Numbers, that's how the tribes of Israel camped around the tabernacle in the Old Testament. There are three gates on each side, and there is a foundation stone for each gate. The first foundation stone is jasper. And again, that's our diamond. If you want to do a more in-depth study of this, I refer you to Exodus chapter 28, verses 17 to 20. These stones are also the stones in the breastplate of the high priest representing the 12 tribes of Israel. Same stones. Exodus 28, 17 through 20. The first foundation is jasper, which is our diamond. The second is sapphire. It's a brilliant blue stone. Sapphire. The third is the chalcedony, sky blue, colored stripes. The fourth is the emerald, bright green. The fifth is the sardonyx, red and white striped. The sixth is the sardius, common quartz that we know of today. The seventh, chrysoprasus, transparent gold. It's clear with a gold color shining through. The eighth is the beryl, green, yellow, and blue, various colors. The ninth is the topaz. It's a yellowish green stone. The tenth, chrysolite. It is a tint of gold or green in it. The 11th is the hyacinth, blue or violet. And the 12th is the amethyst, which is purple. Verse 21, and the 12 gates are made up of 12 pearls. But he goes on to say, each one individually or respectively, each one of the gates was out of one pearl. Each gate was one pearl. Verse 21, and the street of the city was pure gold, as transparent glass. Again, it's the energy and the presence and the glory of God radiating out through this city. And the streets of gold are the gold colors of God's glory radiating through this transparent glass city. Lastly, verses 22 to 27, the plan for the function of the city. The plan for the function of the city. He says, I saw no temple there. I think it's kind of interesting. I was reading from three different Jewish rabbis this week. And the Hebrew and Jewish people actually believe that God created the temple, the actual building itself, to keep people away from God, not for them to get in. I think it's very interesting. because we try to force a relationship with God in a building. This is the place where we meet. Hopefully it keeps the rain off of us or the sun and gives us a chance to sit for a few moments and focus on the things of Christ. But the building is not the church. He's not in the Holy of Holies back here pumping words out to me so that I can share them with you. He's as close to you as your mouth and your heart, as Paul said in Romans chapter 10. But it is interesting, the rabbis believe that God purposely made a building, and their tabernacle, in the back of the tabernacle, is the Holy of Holies, which, by the way, also is cubed in its dimensions. So many people believe this city is a representation of the Holy of Holies of God, and that we will dwell with him there. But remember, when God's presence was in the Holy of Holies, nobody was allowed to go in there. In fact, the high priest was only allowed to go in once a year. And even then, he had a rope around his leg in case he did not purify himself correctly. He had a bell tied to his kanaf, the border of his prayer shawl. And if they didn't hear the bell ringing anymore, they knew to pull him out. He didn't make it. And they would pull on the rope and pull him out. But only the high priest, once a year, was allowed to go in. And even then, he had to go through the purification processes, the ceremonies that God had given. It is interesting, there'll be no temple, no church building in the city. Gives us the reason why. For the Lord God Almighty is the temple of it and the Lamb. The Lord God Almighty and the Lamb is the temple of this city. Verse 23, and the city has no need of the sun, neither of the moon. Remember, we were told earlier that there'll be no water there. There'll be no seas. No need for the control of the tides. There will be living water, but that's called life. The living water of life. It is not water as we know it. But there'll be no sun, there'll be no moon, in order that they might shine in it or illuminate it. The reason? For the glory of God illuminated or lighted it. The glory of God will be its light. Now, if you remember, those of you in the Tuesday night Greek class, if you remember, we discussed when we talked about the word phos for light in John chapter 1. Jesus came and said, I am the light of the world. Same word in Genesis chapter 1, verse 3. And you've probably studied a little bit about creation. If not, you've read about it. Then on the third day, God created the light. And many people believe because on the fourth day, he creates the great luminary, that would be the sun and the moon. And they believe that on the third day, God created the sun and the moon, and on the fourth day, he put them into place. That's not what the text says. It says on the third day, he created light. No? First day, he created light. She had the cue card upside down. On the first day, he created light. Why am I thinking third? And this was a different light than he created on the fourth day, because on the fourth day, he created a greater luminary. He created the sun and the moon and put them stars and put them into place. This was God's light on the first day. When everything is over, and the Jews actually believe, and I've shared this with you before, and I'm looking forward to teaching it someday, but the first four chapters of Genesis contain all of the doctrines about God and the Christian faith. Chapters 1 through 4 of the book of Genesis. It's about a 70-part series. So we'll have to pick some time when we know we have a lot of time. They believe that you can study the beginnings from the end and the end from the beginnings. That in those four chapters, it'll explain all of history and it'll bring all history to its conclusion. It is interesting in the new city, Jerusalem. There's no sun or moon anymore. What's left? God's light. Created on the first day. The electromagnetic fields all put into place. But the sun and the moon were not created until the fourth day. It's God's light. By the way, it's a completely different both Hebrew and Greek word for day one and day four. They're different light objects. The glory of God is going to illuminate the city. There's no need for the sun and the moon. And the lamp of it is the Lamb. Verse 24. And the nations, this is the third thing about the plan and the function of God. The nations of the ones being saved, these are saved individuals from all the nations of the world, are walking in its light. Fourthly, and the kings of the earth are bringing the glory and their honor into it to honor the true king. Verse 25, fifthly, and the gates of it should never be closed. It's a double negative in the Greek text. It will never close. By day, for there is no night there at all. In the cities around Palestine, they used to close the gates at night. Keep all the hoodlums and crowd out. During the daytime, they could regulate who comes in and out of the gate. Remember, there's going to be an angel at each gate. And I already have my ID card that I got. We will issue them $39.95. But there'll be an angel at every gate. It'll never be closed because it'll never be nighttime. It will always be open for access. For there is no night there. And they will bring the glory and honor of the nations into it to give him praise. But there'll also be a group, and this is seventhly, there'll also be a group that will never enter. Double negative again. And there should never enter into it. Every person, every defiling person, defilement. Secondly, everyone committing abomination. And that's a Greek word, bdelgma, which is in reference to idol worship. Doesn't have to be religious. It's when people choose things or activities over the Lord. And also the person who is continually committing lies. Not just a lie, but a habitual liar. Will never enter into this city. Nothing of defilement. Only those who are saved will enter in. No one will ever enter in except, at the end of verse 27, except the ones who have been written in the book of the life of the Lamb. Beautiful presentation of the city. Next week we will begin chapter 22. And especially false prophecy is mentioned. And of those who teach false prophecy, there are consequences there for those people who take away from the book the prophecy of Revelation. By that I mean that the book of Revelation was actually written in order to be an encouragement to Christians who are suffering. The suffering church who might be discouraged or feeling doubts about the victory. They're sitting in prison, some of them waiting to die. others being tortured. And they can't help but go through times where they're wondering, we're supposed to have the victory here. We're Christians. Where's the victory? So the book of Revelation was given, the revelation of Jesus Christ, given to John on the island of Patmos in order to be an encouragement to his people, to say, this isn't the end here. Is that there will be victory. God's judgment and vengeance will come upon those who have harmed his people. And there will be this time of glory. As we studied earlier, no more pain, no more death, no more tears, no more sickness, no more disease. Basking in the glory of God and the energy of his glory forever. Like Paul says, that the things that we suffer here are not to be compared with the glory that we're going to experience with Christ. It doesn't even compare. Even though our time here on earth becomes difficult, Scripture encourages us to look what's coming. Look at the end result. Look to Christ. Let's close with prayer. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. That is an encouragement to us. And we look to that day when we can be with you throughout eternity. We also know that, as we have studied in the past, that we are living stones, that we are being shaped and molded to fit into this city. Each of us have our own specific circumstances and difficulties that we struggle with, but it is all to shape us and mold us, to bring us closer to Christ here, and to prepare us to be with the Lord throughout eternity. Help us to understand the big picture when we're feeling sorry for ourselves, when we feel like there is no hope, and even to the point of, what good does it do to be a Christian? Help us to see that it's your working in us, conditioning us, disciplining us, and preparing us to be with you forever. We pray by your Spirit you would give us this encouragement. In Jesus' name, amen.